This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 491 of the Dressage Radio Show, official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Total Saddle Fit. Tonight, we are doing a wrap-up for the USDF Finals with interviews with Bridget Hay, Marta Ranilia, Anart Shanka, and Kristen Brown from the USDF. We'll keep Bridget on for a Total Saddle Fit trainer tip.
This is Reese Goffler-Stanfield from Georgetown, Kentucky.
And this is Philip Parks from Rockwood, Ontario, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
Hi, Phil!
Hi, Reese. I hope from now on you're going to be nice to me, even though I got that intro wrong like 10 times.
We didn't have to tell everyone. It was, we were punching because it's actually cold where we are. And I think we're just now defrosting from the day. It was
we've had a long day training horses. Yeah.
Yes. And
I'm getting the intros wrong and everything wrong. And
we were giving me
nasty nicknames here on the show tonight.
It's not true. It's kind of true. We were laughing, though. But everybody, welcome to the show. It really is a cold, cold, rainy, disgusting night in Kentucky. I can only imagine. In Canada, it's probably snowing.
It's just snowing.
We have the wintry mix, which is always,
That's worse, I think.
It's the worst.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's awful. We have actually really dangerous roads, and it's not nice. It was not, the horses, we didn't even turn them out till it was late because it was just icing and gross. So winter has come. It was actually quite yucky here last week for the U.S. finals. Everyone was a really big trooper.
Hey, we crossed our fingers for you and everything.
I know. It didn't work so well. Yeah. So, but you're here. We have a great show. We'll get into it. We actually have quite a long show tonight because it's been a busy week. It was busy here in Lexington last week. So we're going to start off with Bridget Hay. She's going to tell us about how her two wonderful horses did here at the U.S. Finals.
Well, we are so excited to have Bridget Hay, FEI rider and trainer and winner of the Intermediaire 2 at the U.S. Finals on the show. Bridget, welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
We're so happy to have you back. It's much easier the second time, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Well, you were just in Kentucky. We were chatting off air that I missed you. You were here all week and we never caught up when you were here. But wow.
I never saw you.
I know. Did your boy and young lady were fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit about, first, let's start with your winning horse with Master Phelan. How did that go?
He was awesome. He sometimes in the warm up, you know, you get on and you think, oh, they're a little tight or this or that. And he actually felt super. I had Alice helping me in the warm up, my friend Alice Tarzan. And she was down there because she had just done an awesome I2 herself. So I always ask my friends' opinions. So, he went in there and I screwed up the first payoff. I overrode that, which annoyed my crap out of myself. But he put in a super test. That horse tries his heart out. And I was just, I was so happy with him. I actually started smiling during the test and I was so excited with my boy. He's just so rock solid for me, always in the ring.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
He's nine. He is a homebred, which I think most people know. He's by Freestyle, who's a floor stand son. This year we did the Developing Grand Prix in Chicago. Last year I talked to you guys after he did the Festival of Champions here at Gladstone when it was in New Jersey. And he is just the sweetest horse. He has so many people that if you meet him, he makes you feel like you're the only person in the world. He's so funny. People that know him just love him because he's just a big mush in the stall and he's a sweetheart. But when I ride, that horse knows when he's in the show ring and he tries always harder for me in the ring than he ever does. I mean, not that he doesn't try in the warm-up, but he gives you that much more in the ring, which I've never had a horse like that.
That's a fantastic feeling. So how did you prepare for the national finals this year? Did you go to Devon? I don't remember.
I did. So we did. That was tough too, because I hadn't schooled that test. So Devon was tough because we didn't do the I2. We did the IA and B, which, oh my God, that was a really hard test because it's the walk to the Piaf. And that did not go so well the first day because I had not had time to school that test because the week before that we did regionals. So he did regionals in Saugerties, which is region 8. And he won the I2 up there. I scratched him from the Grand Prix because I just thought it was too much for him because he's only 9. And then we did the medium tour at Devon, which the first day was not so great because the walk to Piaf was really hard. And I overrode the one pirouette and we had a mistake, and then we actually missed that change, which was my fault. So I was like so bummed the first day at Devon. But Saturday was a much better test, and then he had at least had like what, a month, I think, until we had about 5 or 6 weeks then until Kentucky. So that was nice. We could just work on the I2 again, which is a much better test for us. I really like that test. It just flows so nicely. I had a feeling going into it in Kentucky that he could do well, but I never, of course, expected to win. I just knew he had a shot to be competitive. So I only focused really actually on that test.
That's fantastic. And you also brought your young mare as well, right?
Yes, I brought Fauna, who I also bred. She's by the same father as Phelan. She's a 7-year-old by Freestyle. I actually am lucky enough, I don't actually own her anymore, but Amy has left her with me for a couple of years. Amy Price actually bought her from me. And Fauna, we did the I1 Freestyle and the Pre-St. George. And she's come so far this past year. She's only 7, so this is all really new for her. She did her first CDI at Devon. She did really well at regionals in Saugerties. So she and Phelan were on the same show pattern this year. So those two shows were back to back, which was tough. And then in Kentucky, Fauna can be like a little bit lookier than Phelan. Like, he's like really rock solid. He doesn't look at anything. He's quite unflappable. Like, he doesn't care about the environment at all. Fauna is very good. And I actually was surprised that in the Alltech, she was looking more than I expected. So we had some mistakes in the through tension and the changes in the I1 Freestyle, which I wasn't expecting but it was from the atmosphere. And I'm like, okay, she's only 7. So she's such a good kid though. I mean, that horse has come so far, but I mean, I was so happy with her. She still got, I think, a 68, but I knew it could be so much better, but that's a lot for her in there. And and she just needs more time and experience, but I was really happy with them both. So, and Phelan, yeah, he just doesn't look at anything. He's so cool. He's like, nothing faces that horse.
So. That is so cool. So was this your first trip to the U.S. finals?
No, we've been there. I've been there the last couple of years. Like last year, I only took Fauna because I put Phelan in the CDI and I didn't do regionals and Saugerties that year. But he went as a 7-year-old in the Pre-St. George and I1. He went as a 6-year-old in the fourth level, and he was reserve champion actually that year as a 6-year-old in the open fourth level. And he went as a 5-year-old in the second level, and Fauna went as a 5-year-old. I think this is her third year too. She's gone the last 2 years also in fourth level last year. And I think second level because last year she would have been 6. So as a 5-year-old, she went to second level. So yeah, they've gone every year. So
that's awesome.
You're a strong supporter of the finals, obviously. You enjoy the show. And have you noticed anything different over the years? Like, is it changing? I think we've heard that the quality of the competition is getting better and better.
Yes, it's getting better. I noticed, I think they made it a little harder for the qualifying because the open Pre-St. George class was actually quite small this year. It can be huge sometimes. And that was really small. Whereas the I1 Freestyle class was huge, but it definitely, I think they said there were a lot more entries this year. Well, there were, yes, they had an extra ring running than they didn't have last year, I remember, and it was definitely cold this year. Wow, I was thankful that I never had to ride Phelan outside. He only showed inside, and I would get up at 5 a.m. so that I could ride him, because he was done showing on the very first day of the show. So, but he was stuck there because I had to show her. So I rode him really early every morning in the Alltech because I was like, I'm not riding him outside. It's too cold for this.
Carol, you didn't call your friend Reese, who has a nice indoor, warm indoor, 10 minutes from the horse park.
Is your indoor heated?
No, not like the Alltech. It's not heated. It was still cold. It was a very cold week.
Cold.
But overall, I mean, what would you tell people if they're looking to come to Kentucky? What are some takeaways?
That I think if you qualify, do it, because you might not always qualify, and it's hard to qualify, and it is such a fun show other than the cold. But I mean, really, I have to say we were spoiled. We went from the heated barn into the Alltech arena where we would compete, and then we would hang out in the Alltech. So we didn't have to suffer that much in the cold. I showed Fauna outside though on Sunday morning when it was 23 degrees, and that was not very fun, but I mean, it is such a fun show because you see everybody from the whole country. There's a lot of riders from California there, which blows my mind because that's really far. So I think you should go. Anyone that qualifies should go.
Yeah, I agree with that. I always tell people that, you know, that you really, if you qualify, you should go. It's really fun. And we're so glad you were able to come and come to the horse show. And we look forward to next year. And
thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on the show. And how can our listeners find you online if they're interested to hear more about your program?
The best way to get me is just on my my own personal Facebook pages. I don't even have a website. But you can find me on Facebook. My page is public, so pretty much anybody can find that. That's probably the best way to get in touch with me.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you. It was nice talking to you guys.
Well, right after this commercial break from Kentucky Performance Products, we're going to come back from Kristen Brown. She's going to give us a wrap up on all the fantastic awards that were given this last week at the U.S. Finals.
The sun is just peeking above the tree line as you walk into the barn. You grab your horse's halter off the hook and head out to the field. The dew shimmers in the sun as you walk across the damp grass. You call his name and his head comes up as he walks toward you looking for the apple in your pocket. You take your time grooming, enjoying the peace and quiet in the empty barn. A refreshing breeze greets you as you start down the tree-lined path. Your horse ambles along on a loose rein as you both enjoy a relaxing ride. The feeling you get on an early morning hack is why we do what we do at Kentucky Performance Products. This feeling is brought to you by Microphase. Fill the nutritional gaps in your horse's diet. Microphase vitamin and mineral supplement is a low-calorie way to provide your horse with the vitamins and minerals missing from their diet. The horse that matters to you matters to us.
Well, tonight for our USDF US National Finals sort of wrap up, we have Kristen Brown. She's the Senior Competitions Coordinator from USDF. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're so happy to have you, even if we are having terrible weather here in Lexington. And so you're being such a sport to have us on the show. So we're excited to have you. So can you give us a little bit of wrap up of the winners from this week? We had such a great week of competition here.
We did. We had a fabulous week of competition. The U.S. Dressage Finals has 6 perpetual trophies, with the 7th one, a new one being added this year that was phenomenal. It's a huge silver cup. So we have a total of 7 perpetual trophies that we awarded this year. The beginning, the oldest perpetual trophy, was the Janine Westmoreland Perpetual Trophy, which goes to the Pre-St. Georgia Delta Amateur Champion. And Hannah Hewitt, riding her horse Finden, won that trophy. And then following that, we have the Calaveras County Perpetual Trophy, which is awarded to our Grand Prix Freestyle Delta Amateur Champion, and the always classy Yana Rumbo, riding her horse Armas Zumbul, took that away. He's a beautiful Spanish horse. And then we have the Veronica Holt Perpetual Trophy, which is awarded to our Grand Prix Open Champion. And James Coford, riding the beautiful Adaya HP, a Frisian sport horse mare, took that trophy this year. And the Mickey Christofferson Perpetual Trophy, which is awarded to our Pre-St. George Open champion, was won by Fifi MLW, with Nora Batchelder riding. And just as an off note, Nora won this trophy last year as well, riding Pharaoh SQS. And then we have the Jasmine Perpetual Trophy, which is in honor of Donna Richardson's in California horse Jasmine. It goes to the Grand Prix Freestyle Open Champion. And James Coford, riding Adaya HP, won this trophy, as he did as well in 2017.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. We had him on our show last year as the winner of the freestyle. So congratulations to Jim. If anybody wants to listen to that episode from last year as well, he gives a great interview. What an entertaining guy. And he loves to ride those freestyles, doesn't he?
He does, and Adiah HP is a fabulous mover. If you ever get to see that mare go in person, she's just phenomenal. And then the new perpetual trophy we have this year is the George W. Wagner Jr. Perpetual Trophy, which goes to our Grand Prix Adult Amateur Champion. And the winner was from New Jersey, Alice Tarjan, riding her horse Candescent. And then we have our last perpetual trophy goes to the highest scoring FEI mare. And this is the Lloyd Landhammer Perpetual Trophy. And this was awarded to Fifi MLW, who is owned and ridden by Nora Batchelder. And again, Fifi MLW got this trophy again in 2017. So she's on a roll as well.
Wow. That is so cool. Well,
fantastic.
You know, and it's true at the national championship too. A lot of breeds have awards. I mean, you go up to the table and it's unbelievable how many big fancy coolers and awards that you guys organize every year.
Yeah, we had 34 organizations participate in the High Score Breed Awards, and they offered some beautiful, beautiful assortment of awards, all the way from saddle pads to trophies to jackets. I mean, there was just a huge assortment, a lot of halters to choose from. It's a beautiful display for sure.
It is. It is. Well, it's
and
so cool.
And a lot
cool.
of breeds just being represented. Yeah, I like that. All the different horses you can see at that show. I mean, it just goes to show versatility, you know, in our sport and how, you know, you don't necessarily need the fanciest warm blood to compete. I mean, I really like that, how the breed societies come out and support their horses and you know, any horse can compete in dressage. That's really fantastic.
Yeah. We even had a Shire win a High Score Breed Award this year. So That was really special.
That's so cool. Well, I love it. Well, Kristen, anything else that you like to kind of share with us from the week? Because it was quite a week.
It was. If you haven't had a chance to attend the U.S. Dressage Finals, it should be on every dressage person's bucket list, because it is an event that is not to be surpassed. It is just fabulous. The competition, the vendors, everything that you can participate in. It's just a great event. If you love dressage, you should go to the U.S. Dressage Farm.
It is true. It is really true. It is worth coming and coming to Kentucky. And every year it just gets bigger and better. And it's so cool. So, Kristen, if anybody has any questions on the trophies that were won this year, any questions to ask you, how can they find you online?
They can find me on the USDF website under contact. I am able to be reached in several different venues, from All Breeds Awards to Rider Awards. But they could also call me, just call the USDF office and ask to speak with me. And I'm happy to answer anybody's questions regarding not only the U.S. Dressage Finals Awards, but any USDF award, from year-end awards to All Breeds. We have a very, very diversified awards program, and I'm happy to speak with people and assist them in attaining their goals.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for your time tonight. We look forward to seeing all the awards next year.
Yeah, I hope it's even better for next year.
Well, Phil, I'm really excited about this next interview with Marta and Anarts. And they are from Texas, and they both just became U.S. citizens. They're from Spain, but they both became U.S. citizens. And I think this is a real touching interview of a husband and wife, but also brand new U.S. citizens, so they could participate in the U.S. Dressage Finals. So I hope you enjoy. Well, tonight we are so happy to have Anarts and Marta from the Woodlands, Texas on the show. Welcome, you two.
Hi.
Thank you.
Well, we are so excited. You guys are the power husband and wife couple, and we don't do these very often, do we, Phil?
No, I mean, it's rare that we get a husband and wife. Hopefully they won't argue too much. and we won't get anybody into trouble.
Exactly. Well, first of all, you guys are back home where it's warm from the U.S. finals. It was quite a cold week here last week, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was freezing, but we were, I mean, at least in the FEI levels, it was a dream arena, no? So it was so pleasant to warm up and show in that big wind. And I had to ride outside, but still, the sunny days made it for it. So besides the day that rained, I think the place is so beautiful that at least me on Sunday, we did enjoy a lot, even with the cold weather, the atmosphere.
That's great. That is true. If you're the FEI horses are all inside, and that's a great venue. But if you're in the younger group, you are outside, and it was cold here. But first of all, we have to congratulate you both. If I'm not mistaken, you both became U.S. citizens recently, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. I think Martha was around 2 months ago, roughly. So we actually, when I met her, Martha, she was about to get the green card, and so I was. It was through different routes, both of us through our employers. But then it was a coincidence that we got it the same year. And 5 years later, once you have the green card, you can apply for citizenship. I did that myself because Martha is typically very busy with the farm and everything. And that kind of falls into my the part of the things that I do in the family. So I send the both applications at the same time. And obviously Martha, being as lucky as she is always, she got into the fast line, and she got her citizenship probably 2 months prior, in September or so, prior to the finals. So she knew that if she qualified, she was good to go. In my case, it was later, so I still thought I had a chance. And what happened is that I got my interview scheduled for October 30th. So yeah, that was very close to the final. So I still thought that, you know, there was a chance to it. So I did the declaration and nomination, all the steps that you have to do to the last moment when you had to do the entries. And I did qualify at third and fourth level with my horse Superman. And so when it was the 30th, I passed my interview and I requested an expedited oath ceremony, which is the last step to do before becoming a citizen. And so they told me it was possible, but time was not really on my side. It had to happen in a week. So it got down to last Friday. I had to make a decision on what I would do with the horse, either ship him or not, because I haven't heard from USCIS Immigration Services. So anyway, came to Monday morning, and I decided not to load my horse on the truck that was going to Kentucky with Martha's horses, because at that point I had to be called for an oath ceremony, and it had to happen Monday or Tuesday, really, because on Wednesday I would have to travel. So 5 hours after Martha's horses left, they called me from USCIS, and they told me I could do an oath ceremony on Tuesday morning. So that was very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you could cut it any closer.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, whoa, I didn't realize it was this close. Oh my gosh, because again, you have to be, correct, a U.S. citizen to ride in the U.S. dressage finals. You can ride, exactly, in regionals, but you have to be a citizen to ride in the national championships. So keep going with this story. Now we're in.
Yeah.
What happened next?
Yeah. Well, the rule is you have to be a citizen by the time of the competition. So come October 25th, by midnight, I had to make the decision. Do I want to actually process the entries and pay for them and everything? And I was optimistic that it could happen, so I did. So I had to pay for the entries, everything. I felt bad for the people that were in line behind me, because I was thinking maybe I was ruining somebody else's chance to go. Like, if maybe in the short notice, they wouldn't be able to go. So I told the Federation about that, and yeah, we all agreed that timing was a little bit weird, and probably that's not going to happen ever again. But anyways, I decided to call a couple of the people I knew that were in line, and they told me that they were not thinking about going anyways. So that made me feel better. But so anyways, come that day on Monday night, I decided I needed to find a shipper or ship the horse myself after the oath ceremony and drive all the way there. But that was not feasible either, because I have a job and a family and everything else. So I was going to do that, but logistically it was not working. But thankfully I found a shipper that came to pick up Superman, my horse, at 3 a.m. on Monday to Tuesday a.m. Wow. And shipped the horse to Dallas. And from Dallas, I found a shipper that would go all the way to Kentucky. So basically, the horse had a connection in Dallas. So, and then I did my oath ceremony Tuesday morning. And Wednesday morning, I got a plane. And I arrived right at the same time, the Superman, to the Kentucky Horse Park.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that, timing-wise, it was pretty,
yeah,
pretty
crazy. Yeah, it was meant to be.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the good thing is after that, I didn't care with anything, like, sure, nerves, nothing. There was nothing.
Yeah, you weren't nervous about the show or, you know.
No, not at all. Like, just being there was just such a gift. Like 2 days prior, I was not thinking I was going to be able to be there showing, just watching Martha. So the fact that Superman was there, I was there showing for first time in the finals, it was such a nice thing to experience. So
yeah, it being your first finals for both you guys, Martha, I was wondering if maybe you could tell us a little bit about your impressions of your first finals and how it went for you and your horses.
Well, it was amazing. First year showing Grand Prix with the Grand Prix horse Gamarro Font, the Spanish horse, and first season as well for Coronado. He's only 8, doing the small tour Prix Saint George Taiwan. So both of them are new in those levels, but the atmosphere was amazing. No, it's I felt ready to go, and even though I knew my horses are not really 100% solid on those levels, they did their best they could in the moment we are right now. So for me, it was a win for me and my horses. And my best feeling was that I felt the horses are strong to handle a sheep that is really, really far away from home, and they never give up in the arena for me until the last day. They gave me their best and were strong to do it. And seeing so many riders, you know, I remember being sitting and watching the other riders and be like, oh my God, what a horse, and what a horse, and what a horse, no? So being able to enjoy the other riders and the level of riding and horses that were shown with me was a pleasure, no? So I really enjoyed the high competition around me and be able to be part of them.
That is really cool. Because I've known Marta, I've known you for quite a while, and this has been a dream of yours, is to compete in this competition. Yes. And so it's so fun. And in arts, how did the show go for you and Superman?
It was actually pretty good. I can't complain. The third level, the first day was raining. It was in the morning. It was raining and it was cold.
It was cold.
And yeah, so it was everything. And there was a little wind too, just to top it up. So Superman was a little bit frisky the first day. He's a very hot horse. He's a Sanamor, and very, very hot. The day before, so the day that he arrived and we warmed up, he was pretty full of himself and enjoying himself. And it was fun because I love that. But I was thinking that I would need probably like around 30, 40 minutes of warm up. But then I got on him the day of the competition, which was Friday. And actually, he was pretty flat, which it kind of surprised me. So I didn't want to warm up. So I had like 15 minutes extra to just walk because I wanted all his energy in the arena. And so once I got to, I entered the arena, just being outside with everything going on, he got pretty energetic, and we had a great test. I really liked that. Was a third level test. There was a little mistake before the transition to canter. He anticipated and he kind of piaffed a little bit. And after that, it was, I mean, besides that, I think in general it was a pretty good, solid test. We got a 69 and we were fifth on a very competitive class. So I was very happy with that. And then the next day we did the fourth level. Now thinking about the previous day, I went only with 25 minutes of warm-up, and this time he was really, really hot. So I needed another probably 10 minutes, which I didn't have. So we won in the arena, and he was a little bit extra hot. And the first extended, he cantered. It was totally my fault for not preparing him enough, and I kind of took it for granted that he was going to just like do a nice extended trot as he typically does. And after that, I think that was the mistake, and there was maybe a little bubble on the rein back, which he kind of walked before the halt, but nothing major. So I think I could have scored a little bit higher. We had a 68 off, roughly like 67.9, I think, and we were fifth again. This one, I think that I could have placed higher and I could have written a little better test. But again, I mean, I had one judge at 70 and the other one at 65, and another one at 67. So, but all in all, I was super happy. Obviously, you know, as riders, we always want to do the best, and I wanted to do a little bit better on the fourth level, as far as having a better ride, but I think it was pretty, pretty good, consistent. And I was super happy with the third level ride. So fifth position on both third and fourth for my first time on the open division, even though I'm not a professional. I think that was, to me, that was great. I was really, really proud of Superman with that.
That sounds like pretty good results, and with a little bit of room to go home and have some stuff to work on, right?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, right after the regionals, I didn't know if I was going to be going to finals. So for the first time, I was working the PF and the 110 piece for the first time in Superman's life. So I didn't know how he was going to take that. And I was quite surprised that those two things are his favorite things at the moment.
So
we got up to Yeah, he loves it. He loves them. And so... the PF is something that he surprised me how good he likes it and how good he does it and how well. And then the same thing with the 110 piece. I started 1, 2, 3, and then he's doing now 7. I mean, I haven't tried obviously for like when the same week of the finals, but so there is plenty of room for improvement on both his and my part. So I think by next year, probably small tour is going to be. Is going to be what I'm going to be doing and getting ready for the Grand Prix, hopefully.
Well, Marta, I have a question for you. You are, and both you two, you guys have two growing, adorable little boys. So how do you balance, mm-hmm. Marta, riding and teaching and your business? How do you do that with your two little ones?
Well, it helps to live in the property, no? My horses are in front of, my barn is in front of my house, so... I start really, really early. At 7 o'clock, I'm on the horse, and I'm lucky to have a beautiful nanny with her kids as well. And we manage to have her at home when I'm working, so she can help me with my kids. But for sure, in the evening, you know, at 5 o'clock, I call it a day, and I'm a mom 100% for them. So whatever I have to do, I need to manage to do it before 5 o'clock. And it makes my life really impressed, like amazing. I didn't know I could love as much as I do now, thanks to them. And makes you appreciate more actually your riding in the mornings, you know, because you take a break in the evening with your kids and you see the life with a little bit farther perspective. I used to be a workaholic, and I still am, but I take a break in the evenings thanks to them. So they manage my life in a better way. I think I'm a little bit more solid in my brain before I was too obsessed about horses all the time, no? So they bring the best out of me. So I'm very happy I have my kids.
Fantastic. Nice. Marta, I was just going to ask you, what's the plans for your winter? I know that sometimes you head to Florida to do some competitions there. What will you be up to?
Well, I'm very excited about being a citizen because it opens a lot of doors. And I was reading a lot about the festival, the U.S. festival, and I have a, you know, turning 7 years old and turning 8 years old and a 6 years old horse that they are really talented. So we hope to work through this course to go to the U.S. festival, because I think it's another amazing competition that I should try to be there. And of course, there's always the City Ice in Florida that as much as I can, I want to be there more. I have to still run my business and be with my family. So for me, being in Florida is a treat that I do for as much as I can, maybe a couple of weeks or 3 weeks if I can. But I will work hard to be in the U.S. festival, hopefully, with the long-term horses that I have right now.
That's fantastic. Well, Marta and Nars, thank you both so much for coming on the show and telling us your story. It's such a cool story. And, you know, we forget that with the U.S. finals that, you know, I don't even think about it. But for you guys, it was such a big hurdle to make it happen and to get there. So we are so happy that you were able to come. And how can our listeners find you online if they are interested in your business?
Our place is in Houston, Woodlands Equestrian Club. And we do have a lot of sale horses at EuropeanDressageHorses.com that I do present myself always. And, of course, there is MartaRenilla.com, my private website. But we are Houston people in Texas, and I'm very happy to live in Texas. I love Houston.
Yeah, especially right now because it's snowing where Philip and I are, for sure.
Very nice.
It's pretty
now.
Cool here, yeah. Though. It's yeah. Like in the 40s here, too. For
that's
Houston,
cold.
Everybody's freaking out. Yeah.
That's yeah. What we do. That's yeah. Cool. Well, thank you both so much for coming on, and we look forward to having you in your future and seeing how your first Festival of Champions. We've got our fingers and toes crossed for you next year. So thank you both for coming on.
Well, thank you so much. And congratulations for the great show you guys have, because I'm typically follow it and I enjoy you guys a lot. So thank you and congratulations.
Oh, thanks. We love it that you listen. I knew you were a listener. So I was like, yes, we're so happy that you were able to come on. So it's a lot of fun. Well, thanks so much, guys. And we'll keep in touch.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Total Saddle Fit has the cinch that you've been looking for your Western dressage saddle. The shoulder relief cinch actually changes the position and angle of the billets to prevent the saddle tree from interfering with the shoulder. The center of the cinch is set forward to sit in the horse's natural girth groove, while the sides of the cinch are cut back to meet the billets 2 inches behind where the horse's natural girth groove lies. This brings the latigos from angling forward to becoming perpendicular to the ground, which reduces the saddle's tendency to be pulled forward into the shoulders. With horses that have shoulder interference without angled billets, it simply moves the billets back to keep the saddle further away from the shoulders. The secondary benefit to this shape is the cutback at the elbows. This gives more room for elbow movement as well and prevents galls in the elbow area. You can find the shoulder relief cinch at TotalSaddleFit.com. That's TotalSaddleFit.com.
Well, Phil, you've got a great update for the Total Saddle Fit products this week. What you got going on?
Well, actually, we were doing saddle fittings this week. I, you know, like to have my saddle fitter out twice a year sort of thing. And she came out and she knows that I used the saddle fit girths and all those products. And she said to me, you know, like, hey, Phil, are you still, you know, liking these girths and all these things? And I said, yes, of course. You know, you can see how well they get used and all the horses and so on and so forth. And she said, well, you know, she was really excited that they started carrying in our local tack store all the Total Saddle Fit products, and she was just saying how popular they were and how she, you know, being a saddle fitter, really liked how she can endorse a great product and it helps all the saddles fit a little bit better, and that they're not super expensive. Like, you know, they carry everything there, right? So they all different lines of products, and she was just extolling the virtues of all the Total Saddle Fit stuff. And I said to her, well, I've been telling you about these things for a couple of years. Why did it take so long
to get them in the stores. And she grumbled a bit and said something about the boss or something or other. But now they carry them at you know, at Bar Salary, which is a huge store that local to me. And I'm, you know, really happy and really feeling great about her also endorsing the products. And it's a feel-good story.
I love it. That is so cool. Well, expanding into more stores. I love it. Well, as always, if you have any questions about the Total Saddle Fit products, the TotalSaddleFit.com website's a great way. And Justin, who's also there, is fantastic. So great company and fantastic products. And we're glad you're getting them in Canada. That's fantastic. And Phil, for this Total Saddle Fit tip of the week, we asked Bridget to stay on to do a tip for us. So we're really excited to share that with you. Well, we are so happy this week that Bridget Hay, who is actually USDF Horse of the Year at I2 with her Phelan, she stayed on the line to give us our Total Saddle Fit tip of the week. Bridget, thanks for staying on.
You're welcome. Hello again.
Hello. But we were just talking off air, and really, congratulations on the I2 Horse of the Year. That is amazing. Very cool. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so proud of that boy. He's done a lot this year. He's blown my mind. Yes.
Awesome. And you bred him. And so it's even better. So I love it. I love it. Well, you have great trainer tip for us today. What you got for us?
All right. So my tip is, especially for this winter when you're working stuck inside, is lateral exercises for suppleness and lateral exercises for straightness, and which ones you can use for each. For straightness, we like to use shoulder in, leg yield to work on straightness and getting the horse into the outside rein. And then I would use more Ronvert and Travert for more suppling and bend through their body. And then as you work on it, you can then make it a little bit harder by taking each movement to the quarter line or the center line, or even trying it on a circle to really challenge themselves.
So maybe you can first explain to us how doing a leg yield will help to make your horse more straight.
Okay, so it's basically from when you're pushing the horse off your inside leg and towards your outside rein and leg, you would start it on the quarter line, a basic leg yield, to go towards the wall, but you would want to watch that the outside shoulder doesn't bulge and that they don't lose that shoulder. And if you're lucky and you're in an indoor with mirrors, you can look straight ahead and see that you stay parallel to the long side and you don't lose the opposite. Well, say you're moving off the right leg, then you would lose the left shoulder. But you would keep them parallel to the wall. But then you would catch them in your outside aids, your outside rein and leg, and ride a straight line once you hit the track. Actually, you could put them in a slight shoulder four to keep them straighter.
No, I think that's absolutely right. And you can get kind of more weight into your outside rein and your outside leg aids. So can you tell us a little bit about the suppleness? I love that idea of Ronvert and Travert. Mm-hmm. How does that, especially like on the quarter line, like you started talking about, how does that change things for you?
It challenges them a little bit more because sometimes if you're in a shoulder in, they would lose the outside shoulder. I find it is actually easier sometimes to switch them to Travert, and especially young horse starts to get way more supple through their bodies. And then as they start to let go, you know, in their backs, I find that they're trots also start to open up. So yeah. To me, I use each exercise depending on what the horse feels like underneath me.
Yeah.
But
no, I think that's exactly
it's harder,
right.
Of course.
Yeah, it is harder because the wall in that case, right, is acting sort of like a little bit of a helper or a little barrier.
Oh, yeah.
Which is quite nice.
Yes, guiding. Definitely. I call it a guiding influence.
Oh, Phil. Wow. Yeah.
And then I try and tell people that when you do it off the wall, that the rider has to be the guider, the guiding influence. And then it kind of gives the idea that, you know, of a basic shoulder in, Travert, Ronvert, into a more sophisticated one where the rider is now more responsible for all the pieces of the horse. I think that, you know, all the lateral moves are only to get, you know, for the rider to be able to influence the shoulder and the hind leg differently and to be aware of these things so that you can develop straightness later on. I mean, I think it's just, you know, we don't really like to ride a horse's, you know, sideways because they get kind of crooked, but through training them,
you know, that's why straightness is pretty far up on the training scale, because you have to go through suppling the horse to be able to be aware, and the horse be aware of where all the legs are, and then you can kind of put them where you want. And obviously hind legs underneath the front legs, and now you've got collection. Mm-hmm. See, it all works like that.
It's so easy to do it's so easy to do four tracks on a quarter line instead of three, because you don't have that wall to help you. So it also helps if you have the mirror.
Yeah.
Because the rider's got to be held responsible.
I was in
for
a clinic a couple weeks ago, and one of the exercises we were doing was actually shoulder in. So we were on the quarter line. Let's say we were tracking to the right, but we were doing shoulder in left. So it was really helping me get the horses solid in the right rein. So shockingly, I was having trouble with on both my horses. Huh, I wonder why that is. So obviously it was something what I was doing, and the shoulder in on the quarter line was such a helpful movement. It was like, oh, okay. And I could really feel the horse take what at that point was my outside rein, but was also my inside rein if I changed the bend. So just another application of a shoulder in. And I don't know if I had done that or hadn't done it in a while. And I was like, oh, that was so smart and so helpful. So that was really cool. So there's always different applications for every one of these exercises, different places in the arena. And like you said, on a bending line and a circle is more difficult. So there's lots of things that can make it more and more challenging. But, you know, I think
you're the basic. And it holds the rider accountable.
Yes. Being the guiding influence.
Very accountable on the borderline. Yeah.
I like that, Phil, the guiding influence. That's fantastic. Well, Bridget, thank you so much for your time tonight. We've stolen you for a while, and we really appreciate all your time and your total saddle fit
welcome.
Tip of the week. We appreciate it. How can
thank
our
you.
Listeners find
thank
us
so
to find
for
you
having
online?
Me on.
Oh, we love it. Anytime.
Well, thanks for having me. The best way to get me is on my own personal Facebook page, which is just my name, Bridget Hay. And yeah, I don't have a website, so but you can find me on there. It's public. Anybody can find it. So
perfect.
Thanks
so Bridget.
Much.
We'll see you soon to get that Horse of the Year trophy.
Yes. We'll see you in Salt Lake City.
Absolutely.
This week's dressage training tip is brought to you by Total Saddle Fit, home of the shoulder relief girth at TotalSaddleFit.com.
Well, as always, we love your email and Facebook shout outs. They make our day, so keep them coming. And you can find our show notes and links to today's guests on our website, DressageRadio.com. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. My website is MapleCrestFarmKY.com, and my email is Reese@HorseRadioNetwork.com.
I think the best way to find me is on Facebook, or my email is Philip@HorseRadioNetwork.com. I'd like to thank our sponsors for allowing us to put on a good show. And don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network at HorseRadioNetwork.com.
Everybody, keep your heels down and your shoulders back, and we will talk to you next week.